How about your 71-year-old lady with endometrial cancer?
So she's 71. She kind of came in with the usual postmenopausal bleeding, and a biopsy showed a grade 2 endometrioid type tumor. And interestingly, she also had these bilateral ovarian masses that were present on her imaging, and unfortunately some omental thickening. And so before I had seen her, she had gone to the operating room and she was found with this grade 2 lesion that was invading into the myometrium by 2/3, and she had some lymphovascular space involvement. And in the ovaries, she had a similar grade 2 endometrioid tumor that was on the surface. And so it was felt to be, rather than a synchronous primary, as a metastatic deposit. And of course, she had disease in the omentum. So when I saw her, this had already been done. And the imaging, when I saw her, also showed that she had some ascites and had some peritoneal disease. And the ascites was actually somewhat problematic. She was wanting it tapped. It was more of a, you know, it's heaviness and all that. So I saw her essentially as a second opinion regarding treatment, and she had been given the recommendation of paclitaxel carboplatin. And so when I saw her, I told her that would be a completely reasonable thing to do. We have a lot of data to support that. But I also had a trial ongoing, which was looking at the role of dasatinib in combination with paclitaxel carboplatin. And so she went on to that trial.
What was the rationale for dasatinib?
We've had a lot of interest in the specific target called EphA2. And EphA2 is a very unique target for a lot of cancer biology because it's lost. It's a part of neuronal development in the fetal tissues, but it's lost in adult tissues except in cancers. It's also activated. It has activity essentially in a phosphorylated and a non-phosphorylated state. And so we started a program about 10 years ago trying to find a way to target the specific protein and the specific gene because it was so prevalent in a number of different tumors and seemed to drive a lot of biology for invasion and metastasis.
And what's your current situation?
So the way this trial was written, and we haven't reported this yet, but I'll just give you the highlight of this trial. The way I wrote this trial was that the dasatinib was actually given as an induction. So they got one course of dasatinib as a single agent, and they were biopsied before and after, before they started the chemotherapy triplet. And so she went on, you know, she had her ascites was a problem. The first cycle of dasatinib, we didn't see much change there, but it didn't get worse. And then when she went on the chemotherapy, the ascites dried up. And when we looked at her after 3 cycles of chemotherapy, she'd had a dramatic improvement in her peritoneal disease. And then at the end of 6 cycles, she had even more, although not a complete response at the completion of that. And she went on to 3 more cycles of the chemotherapy.
What's her current situation?
So right now, she's still on treatment with paclitaxel carboplatin and continuing to do quite well. You know, as I mentioned, she's ERPR positive, which is a little unusual, but this provides an opportunity for another intervention that we're closely working on now as well.
What's that?
And that's looking at the use of everolimus, letrozole, and metformin, which we've now shown in several of our kind of sequential studies to have be quite active in patients who have endometrioid ER-positive tumors.
That's really interesting. And of course, we've seen a lot of excitement in breast cancer with the CDK inhibitors, palbociclib, really impressive results at the ASCO meeting. It's already approved. There's another one. What about CDK inhibitors in endometrial cancer?
Absolutely. So our next trial, once we close the everolimus, letrozole, metformin trial, is to one with a CDK4 inhibitor.